Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you remember 1993? In 1993, apartheid ended in South Africa. Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You was number one on the Billboard 100 charts. Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven won the Oscar for the Best Picture, while Jurassic Park, the first one, Mrs. Doubtfire, and The Fugitive were box office favorites. You could buy a Sony Walkman for $29.95. The first Pentium processor was released, in fact, the day before our very first worship service. There are only 5.5 billion of us in the world, and 10.6 million of us bought copies on VHS of Disney's Aladdin in the first week it was available in stores. Daniel Livers was born. Heart of the Rockies Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, held its first worship service in March and opened its charter in May. Our readings for this morning come from that Sunday in May, as does the sermon title. That's the hardest part every week, is coming up with the sermon title, so I just kept borrowing. God is doing a new thing in Joshua. We read this morning from this book in the Old Testament that begins with God appointing Joshua as the leader of the Israelites in Moses' stead. Now, God doesn't leave Joshua to fend for himself in his new role. God is sure to commission him. God gives him a clear set of instructions, and God promises never to leave Joshua. Imagine how those words would have sounded, would have felt to a new leader or to a new community of faith. Be strong and courageous, God tells Joshua. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We pick up the story in Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. When the entire nation of the Israelites had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the places where the priests' feet stood. Carry them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you camp tonight.' Then Joshua summoned the 12 men from the Israelites whom he had appointed, one from each tribe. Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, for one for each of the tribes of the Israelites, so that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, "What do those stones mean to you?" then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever." The Israelites did as Joshua commanded. They took up 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord told Joshua, carried them over to the place where they were camped, and laid them down there. Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A couple of weeks ago at Bonnie Crockett's memorial service, where we celebrated her life and her resurrection to new life, her nephew Cliff took part in the service. Cliff is a Methodist minister in Missouri. Well, of course, as soon as he got here, we started comparing notes about places we'd lived in Missouri, people we knew. And we quickly discovered that Cliff had grown up in Republic, the town where I served First Christian Church prior to coming here. "Oh, you probably knew one of my old girlfriends," he said. "Her name was Lynn." Lynn was the first person I buried in Republic. I'd only known her a few months when she died. One of the most difficult parts of officiating these sacred services isn't what I thought it would be when I first started out in ministry. It's the hardest part isn't how much I love that person, although invariably it is always a lot. The hardest part is realizing that what I knew of their lives, the time that we had to spend together, was just a drop in the bucket of the whole of who they are. I love getting to meet with families, and I cherish hearing the stories of when their loved ones were young, the things that they accomplished, the adversity they faced, whom they loved. It's not lost on me that in their dying, they returned to the only one who truly knew them, as we sing at their morning cry, the day they were baptized, in the middle ages of their life, if they found someone to share their time when they were not too old, no longer young, and when the evening gently closes in and they shut their weary eyes. Celebrating our 25th anniversary as a community of faith is a big deal. Although it's a drop in the bucket of God's whole realm, for us, it's been full of births and baptisms, weddings, many, many middle years of our lives, and transitions into God's eternal embrace. There's been conflict and cancer, changes of venue, deep sorrow, and belly laughs. We've seen kids who have shown up on bicycles grow up, and we've watched the kids that we least expected to do so wander away. We've responded to crises in our community and had our hearts broken by unexpected losses in our own congregation. We've loved men and women into ministry, and when their call expands beyond these walls, we've let them go, sending them out into God's world to do God's work. We've said painful goodbyes, and we've extended extravagant welcomes. We've listened, and we've prayed, and we've discerned side by side. We've continued to show up for each other, even when we were tired, even when we were uncertain, even when we haven't always agreed. We've grown ministries into nonprofits, and there have been opportunities that have slipped from our grasp. We've taken risks and made mistakes and learned and laughed after we've cried. Year by year, we've remembered the past while imagining a future together. That's how God's people have always lived. The biggest blessing that the Israelites receive isn't the gift of the land that God has promised them. The biggest blessing is that the God who has led them out of Egypt is the same God who wandered with them in the wilderness for 40 years, is the same God who will go with them into the promised land, is the same God who has gone with us from Cruz Elementary School to Colorado Academy of the Arts to GK Gymnastics to 6501 Brittany Street. The Israelites celebrate God's blessing, the gift of God going with them, by dropping these memorial stones in the Jordan riverbed. It's a tangible reminder that Israel can prosper in the land because of who God is and because of the promise God has made, because God's hand is there. God's people have always known that whenever we become disconnected from the presence of God, the trajectory of our labor turns downward. when generations come to pass that don't know the work of the Lord, when there are sons and daughters who don't remember what God has done for their ancestors, that's when we start to get into trouble. We see throughout the history of Israel that their problems stem from their failure to acknowledge God's work on their behalf. The same goes for us. We are at our best when we are paying attention to God's work on our behalf. We could constantly try to assess, what are we doing for God? How are we measuring up? But that might be giving ourselves a little too much credit. Maybe the more faithful measure is to keep our eyes open for the ways God is working with us, for us, in us, through us. It's tempting to be more focused on the ways we can advance ourselves than on the ways we're serving others. After all, if we don't look out for ourselves, who will? So what if we made it a practice to keep track of the things God does on our behalf? Like the mementos that we collect to track our accomplishments, awards, plaques, photos, commendations, certificates. Those things are important. And yet, how do we remember what it is that God is doing in us? If we're able to do that, we can trade in our pep talks, like, I've got what it takes, for a deeper assurance. God has been with me every day, every step along the way. If we started to notice more of what God was up to in us, through us, around us, would that free us up to care more generously for others while still feeling more taken care of ourselves? When we take note, and maybe this means literally writing it down. If there's any hope of me remembering it, I've got to write it down. So maybe we take note of when something good happens to us, or when something good happens to someone else through us, or when we see beauty in an unexpected place, or when we find comfort when we weren't anticipating it. Maybe when we write those down, then those observations compose our history. Each one becomes this kind of memorial stone to God, like the stones that the Israelites placed in the waters of the Jordan to remember how God had brought them into the promised land, to remember how God was with them always. Each rock, a remembrance of God going with us. Because these rocks, Joshua tells us, are still there to this day. This morning we have a blessing to share with all of you, not in the form of the promised land, but in the form of some of those rocks of remembrance. Some of you may remember Amanda Henderson. She and her husband Kyle and their three children, Ryan, Faith, and Mia, grew up in this congregation. Amanda is one of those women that was loved into ministry here at Heart of the Rockies and was called out into the world to do amazing things, to expand God's realm. She currently serves as the executive director of the Interfaith Alliance of Colorado, and she shares with us today a blessing written for us for our 25 years.
The blessing of holy ground on 25 years with Heart of the Rockies Christian Church. What is it that is so holy about this ground, this building, these people, this dirt, garden, prairie dogs, and playground at the corner of Trilby and LeMay?
Is it the pastors who welcomed scrappy young families, including ours 22 years ago, supporting us through premarital counseling, babies by birth and adoption, loving us through the muck of life, big and small, challenging and supporting, teaching us the things we didn't know that we didn't know, and pastors who continue to use one arm to hold and the other to push?
Or is it the congregation, the people of all ages and stages? There's so many years who continue to show up fully, who plan to worship and VBS and house families in need, who face the hard realities of community life unafraid, preparing meals and singing songs.
Or is it the building? Is it the sanctuary and these walls? Classrooms, nurseries, office space, rounds of carpet, coats of paint, changing and evolving to conform to the life happening within. There's so many children throughout these years, crawling, running, praying, playing, throwing shoes off at the door. For this is more than a building. It is a home.
Or is it the yes that is said so often to the movement of the Spirit in this place? Is it the practice of deep listening, the room for curiosity, wonder, and thanks? Is it the culture of bravery that supports so many of us to listen to God's call, to actually step out to love God, serve others, and change lives?
I don't know exactly what it is, but whatever it is, this ground is surely holy, fertile with deep roots, winding vines, nodes, and connections, holy ground that creates new paths and bears unexpected fruit. This place, these people, this way of being in community continues to bless those within and without, continues to inspire, to challenge, and to call us toward God and life and all that is holy.
Yay!